Grace to you and peace from the one who first breathed life to the one, from the one who breathed life after death, and from the one who breathes life into us still today. Amen. I had the opportunity about 10 years ago to go as part of a small cohort to what's called the Healthy Congregations Institute in Columbus, Ohio. And it was an interesting time to learn about myself, what that meant for me as leader, and then to take some of that language, some of that learning, and to apply it to the congregation that I was serving at that time. There was prep work. Needed to read a book, watch a movie, the Lincoln movie. Remember the Daniel Day-Lewis version of that? And then I needed to know my family's history or family tree back 3 generations. I will confess today, I can't name any of my great-grandparents. And I couldn't then. So, in preparation for my flight out, I met with my mom in Spokane. I had an evening red-eye. And we sat at the Spokane Mall. I know, right? Exciting. Sat in the food court at the Spokane Mall outside of Taco Time, which, think Taco John's, but better. Significantly so. And my mom told me about my grandparents and my great-grandparents. She shared all of these wonderful stories, and we for 3 hours sat there talking about this family that I didn't know. It was so fun. We took a table, and I spread out this large paper, this roll, and I very carefully, with a measure, with a ruler, and with the bottom of my soda cup, made circles and straight lines and built my genogram of my family. And by the time that we were done, I had this really beautiful, clean document that I rolled up, banded, and carried with me from Spokane to Los Angeles. Nope, Spokane to Seattle. Seattle to Los Angeles. Los Angeles to Chicago. Chicago to Columbus. Starting at 7 p.m. The next day, we introduced ourselves to each other. The 12 of us, limited to that, each took a significant chunk of time to tell our stories, to say who we are. Went to lunch there on the campus of Trinity Seminary in Columbus, and came back. And I remember distinctly Dr. Emlyn Ott, the director of Healthy Congregations, she pulled one of those professor moves where she sat on the table in the front of the room. You know, can you picture it? And she said, we spent all morning getting to know each other. And a few of you mentioned a divorce or a separation, but for the most part, what we told were the good stories. But you guys know that our families are more complicated than that, and so you need some extra tools for the next journey that you're going on. And she started with the typical genogram tools, right? Divorced, conflict. This is just surface level. If you're doing any kind of family history stuff, learning about who you are, where you came from, these are really, really helpful symbols. But we weren't just doing genogram. We were talking about Bowen family systems theory. And so she said, you need to know about relationships within there, because they might not have led directly to conflict or divorce, but there's a lot of different things. And so she gave us this chart. Every color has a different meaning within it. There are different variants, all sorts of things. Things like the blue color is abuse. And it starts with just generally abuse, but then it has physical, emotional, and sexual abuse in there, along with a line for neglect right there. Each one of them connects then everybody. And she let us go that day about 4 o'clock. Every other day we were there from 8 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. But she let us go with homework. And she said, you're beautiful, clean genograms. I need you now to make them messy. And she sent us home to get on the phone, to call our parents, our cousins, our siblings, our grandparents, and to ask the hard questions, to get to know where all of these relationship intensities, where all of these difficulties and conflict were present in our system. And this isn't really me, it's just a complicated one. By the time that my exhausted, travel-worn body got ready for bed that night, I couldn't sleep. I was so embarrassed. My family is so broken, so flawed. How could I possibly be pastor with all of this in my history? How could I do that? And so the next morning we got together, all of us carrying our little sheets and not talking quite as much as we did the first day. Instead, we stood in our spaces with our cups of coffee, every one of us afraid of who would have to go first. It wasn't me. A young pastor from the East Coast got up and we unrolled that genogram and put magnets on each corner, and the room audibly sighed relief. It looked like mine. And two and three and four and every single one of us unfurled our families in front of the other, and they were complicated, broken, beautiful. As we ended that morning and retelling our stories with all of the conflict and the difficulty, all of those things, I'd learned a ton. I'd noticed that a second sibling for generations had been married not just once or twice, but 3, 4, 6 times. I realized that generations back, every one of the kid groups had this big gap, so that like me, the last one was 8 or 10 years after the older siblings. I found all sorts of interesting conflict within relationships and felt like I understood who I was and who my family was so much better. Didn't feel great. And so Dr. Ott again came around to the front of the table and said, "And now, just so you don't feel weird, just so you understand this, I want to look at the genealogy at the beginning of Matthew." And she went generation after generation and talked about all of the ways that Jesus' family was complicated and broken and beautiful. She told stories of rape and incest, of abandonment and abuse. She talked about the physical toll that all the travel and displacement took upon each person who was a part of that, about places where there was not just conflict but separation, so families weren't talking to each other anymore. She explained that there was violence of so very many kinds, generation after generation, again and again. She said to us, "You know those 5 women. They're so famous, and it's such a powerful thing for them to be present in that genealogy. But remember their stories and the pain that comes with them. Joseph probably heard the same story about his family that I heard growing up. I'm doubting that there was a lot of talk about David's rape of Bathsheba. I would guess that as they talked about their lineage, they talked about he danced in front of the Lord. He defeated Goliath with a single stone. I'm going to guess that Hagar and Ishmael weren't right on the tip of the tongue when Abraham came up, but faithfulness, the willingness to wander into the woods, uncertain, but trusting that God would provide. And so suddenly, he is faced with real conflict, real difficulty. His wife pregnant, he knows not how. And he wonders, how could this be? I am descended of David, from Abraham, God's family that would restore God's people. Like this? It could not have made sense to him. A little side note here. big fancy word for how we read Scripture is multivalent. We want to read it, A, from Joseph's perspective, and the story of Joseph and Mary and how they experienced that angel coming through, right? So the very first part is from the actual biblical experience. What was Joseph experiencing? It was conflict. A righteous man, he didn't decide that he would have Mary stoned, which was his right, but instead, what he would do, I love this, righteous, was abandon her so that she could raise a child out of wedlock, single. That's the good option in this story. You don't imagine that there's conflict for him and for her? But then think about the first community to hear this, Matthew's community. They needed Jesus to be who had been promised through the prophecies of the Old Testament, to fulfill all that was expected to come from that lineage back through those patriarchs. And they knew the family was broken, but having just heard, having just been reminded so deeply about the women that were involved in that story, could it have been that in Bethlehem, the one who we expected did come? And then that final level at which we read it is, what does that mean for us? And I think it means for us what it meant for Joseph when he got real honest about his family. See, God has been in the business of taking all of the violence, all of the separation, all of the questions that are struggles in our beautiful, complicated families, and showing up right in the middle of them, bringing God's truth into the hardest places of our world. Because what we want to do is tell this story of the sun on our backs and the beauty of the people that we love around us. But you and I know that our families, who we are, is a story of complication and brokenness and beauty. And God shows up for Joseph and Mary, for those first people that heard this story and made the connections back through David to Abraham, for us, you, me. A child is born who is a Savior, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. Complicated, broken, beautiful, for all. Amen.